Welcome aboard our vessel. I'll be your cook. Join me and my trusty ally, the captain, as we set sail through our relationship with music, film, literature, and everything in between, as well as our ongoing exploration into mental health and well-being. Anchors up!
Back on the Zooms as well. Back on Zoom as well. This is old school, isn't it? It's like when we started.
Yeah. Going back, way back. Back to the beginning. Back to the future. Welcome back. We are. So, yeah, I think that's a different intro for us. I don't know what this is. I think it's episode 9 of series 3, although we've chucked in a few different ones here and there and stuff like that. But a long time ago, we set ourselves some challenges. And your one is, I'm sure you must have bought half of Risker now, it's shopping local.
Yeah, it was. Loved it. Like I said to you, I've probably done it sporadically in the past, but I'm really determined to make it part of my routine. And I think I sent some feedback when we put the post on Instagram, but it's just a different experience, isn't it? You know, the people in the shop, because most of the time they own it or they're very close to the business, get a good discussion out of them. The guy in the butchers was telling me a story about The Undertaker, who was a friend of his, not the wrestler. Oh, imagine that. Yeah. He comes in to get his sausage rolls. I was stood there, it all went dark. Yeah. Dong, Paul Bearer walked in. No, and he was saying about like how this guy had like attacked him in a pub. So it was quite like traumatic from what the story he was telling me, or he was a witness to, someone hitting someone else. And when he was interviewed about the police, asked for the police to give a description of the other person, he could do it to a T. And they were like, how could you describe everything about this person? He said, I'm an undertaker. I deal with bodies every single day. So, but it was just, he did it in a humorous way. It was funny. But again, you're going in to make a very quick purchase, but I was probably in there for like 10 minutes or so, just chatting away. And No, I felt good, mate. It felt good. But I know for you, one of your favorite things in the world is cheese. And I set you the challenge and you'd already planned it in, didn't you? you the challenge.
Yeah, so it was quite an easy one to do. But yeah, I just like having that time of just hitting pause, you know, put on some nice music, do some cheese, some wine. We normally have like a little quiz or something as we go through it and just reconnecting, you know, no TVs, no screens, you know, and just having that opportunity. But yeah, we do try a variety of cheeses, a few varieties of wine, shall we say, normally a white and a red. And yeah, it's just nice. It's just a nice thing to do. Almost feels a bit French sometimes, you know, should talk in a French accent as I do it. But
very, very like continental. Yeah. And these things you can do at home, isn't it? Like, you know, sometimes people think doing stuff, you have to go out, you have to spend a lot of money and things like that. But sometimes the most fun, and I know you and Charlotte, we spoke about on previous pods, you'll turn your house into like concerts, when you'll turn it into cinemas, you know, anything just to do something a bit different, like you said, isn't it?
Yeah. And I've also, because we had a few specials here and there, and obviously I went away, you know, and I thought as I was away, I'd just take the ship to a few new places as well. So yeah, we went across and we've conquered China.
Oh, so this one, hello to our listeners or listeners in China, is ni hao.
Okay,
I think there's a lot of different ways, and I know there's different dialects in China, but I went for ni hao because I could say
yeah, all two of them use that language.
Where else have we been?
Yeah, well, world domination now, so we're heading to Qatar.
They're holding the World Cup, aren't they? Is it next winter?
Next winter. That's our tour, isn't it? We're going out.
Yeah, we're going out there. And that one is, we've heard this one a few times before, haven't we? Okay. This greeting, but it's a marhaba.
Oh, there we go. You could just copy and paste your voice clip and just make a voice clip for every country. And then we're slowly moving closer to home. And we've gone to Turkey.
You know what, when the advert, I've just seen on the telly, the advert comes up about Visit Turkey. It absolutely looks absolutely beautiful. But I love the fact that, like, I'd always wanted to go to Istanbul. It's half Europe, isn't it? Half Asia and that sort of stuff. But there's a few ways again saying it there, but I'm going for Silam.
Okay, and a quiz, capital of Turkey.
Oh, no, it's not. I was going to say Constantinople then, but that's the old Istanbul, isn't it? Oh, you got me on the spot. You got me.
Yeah, Ankara.
Ankara. Oh, that's so frustrating because I do know that. Everyone goes Istanbul, don't they?
They do.
On that one. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same as Australia, capital of Australia.
Canberra.
There we go. Yeah. Capital of New Zealand.
Christchurch?
No, Wellington.
Wellington, yeah, Wellington. Oh God, there's some good ones in there. Talking about, we should touch on quickly. You've been abroad. How did it go?
Yeah, it was all right.
It wasn't just all right because of the photos you were sending me and doing my editing. But how was it going abroad?
It was lovely. It was pandemic. Nice. Yeah, and just to see again, a warm sea, and yeah, just go somewhere different, you know, have the whole getting on a plane experience. It was all really well done, you know, I will say, you know, it was all very, and everyone out there, you know, was very much following guidelines, regulations and stuff. And yeah, just to come back to a grey, wet, dark Bristol was just wonderful. Yeah, just what you want.
So it was the best part about a holiday is when you get off the plane the other side and the heat wall hits you, yeah, and then you come home and you just shivering, yeah, like, you know. Okay, Bryn. So we have come back to a more traditional format. We've also said as well, we've come back to using Zoom, which was how this all began, but we're using it now for convenience, aren't we? Because yeah, we're both very busy. So we're bringing Zoom back in. But we've got a normal format of a show for you, which we're bringing back to people. But we're going to do it slightly different in this main bit. So we both love our live events, don't we? So, and I think it's safe to say that when the gates were lifted after the last lockdown and live events started to kick in, everything came at once pretty much in a short space of time. So we had a lot of gigs that have been rearranged from the last year and a half that started to come together. And luckily for us as well, we've done different things, haven't we? So I know that you've got love for the theatre. I lean probably more on the music side. So we thought we'd just chat through, didn't we, mate? So we were having a chat the other day. We were just thinking, who should we do next week for the pod? And they were like, actually, we've been visiting a lot of things, haven't we? So let's have a little talk about that. So, I know you've put in this order, mate, but I've just done a bit of a rambling intro. So I'll bring you in first, because this is probably the freshest one in mind. Was it on Friday night? You went to see Dear Evan, I understand. So just tell people about that and what the experience was like.
So it's, Dear Evan Hansen. So it's a musical. We went to London to see it. And I realised it's the first show since January 2020 that I've seen.
Okay.
I normally go all the time to the theatre, you know, and it's just in me. It's in my blood. You know, I go.
Yeah.
So I got it shout for a birthday and we got there and I was like, oh, we didn't read anything about it. Just thinking, it'd be nice going in, seeing a musical, relaxing, switching off from everything, not thinking about work, sit down, it starts, it's about suicide. I was like, wonderful, just what I needed, just before I go back to work. But the great thing is, it's a taboo topic that's been made into a West End, well, it was Broadway first, and then a West End musical. And I'm pretty sure that the film's out as well now. So yeah, it's clearly just getting quite popular, you know, I guess. But so music and lyrics by Ben Pasek, Justin Paul, and the books by Stephen Levinson. It's different. It's a very different one. I don't want to talk too much about the story in case people want to go and see it. I found it quite challenging, some of the context of it, but it was really, the thing I liked, there were 8 people and that was it in the cast. Mm-hmm. So it was a really small cast. It wasn't big, all singing, all dancing, which I'll go on to for the next show. It was very much more intimate. So even though there were loads of people there, it was, really just, you could relate to the characters, you know, it was very personable. It was very, there's songs which you'll just recognize and they'll get stuck in your head, you know, and stuff. And the one song which I just like, there's two that I like the names of. One of them is it's Waving Through a Window, you know, so it's, and the lyrics are always on the outside, always looking in. which I found really interesting. Randomly used that word, that sentence, with a client recently. That on the outside, always looking in, and that's true with some people. You are like looking through the window at other people's lives, wanting to join, being able to. And the other one is you will be found. You know, so it's something like when the darkness is closing in, you know, and it's saying you will be found. So it's the fact that there's hope, you know, someone will reach out, someone will find you, someone will be there for you. So those two things really, sort of resonated with me, you know. And there is a lot, you know, there's mentions of a therapist, there's things of social anxiety. So it's really just knocking back all these taboos, you know, a single parent in there, you know, the fact, like I said, the suicide, you know, is really interesting. The way they use a lot of social media as well. So it was technical. And like you had big, almost like screens up around the place. It was just flashing up loads of social media as if the characters were messaging each other. And yeah, all about starting up charity. So it kind of, it was interesting. Like I said, I don't like giving too much away about this one because the film's out, because it's still on the West End. I recommend people go in with a very open mind to it. But for me, just seeing live theatre again, you know, just being able to be there, to get lost in it all, to have the interval bit, to have the excitement, you know, as you sat down and the overture starts. It was just, I didn't realise how much I'd missed it.
And it's the build-up to go in. I remember you sent me a picture, you know, you go to the pub and we have a pint before, you know, or a drink before, head in, you know, everyone's sort of filtering through the doors, aren't they? They're all there for the same reason, to see the show and enjoy it. It's a great feeling. I was just going to say, I think a couple of points on what you said. I love that bit about waving from a window outside looking in. I think that it just sums up to me the social media culture we're in, and we've touched on that multiple times. But also then that can feed depression and anxiety if it's not controlled, isn't it, in terms of how you approach social media. And I know we've shared loads, haven't we, on previous pods. And if you're only jumping on board now, go back and listen. We talk about this in quite a lot of detail, particularly probably on the 1984 episode and a couple of the other ones, but how social media could draw people in and really suck the life out of you, because you end up just being a bypasser in life, or bystander, sorry, in life, and you just end up watching what, and your idea of what normal is gets really sort of, I don't know, misconstrued, because you're looking at what perfection should be, or how you should look, how you should dress, whatever. And it can really make people feel even more self-conscious. So that's good. I was going to probably add something on. I watched a film that I actually saw Jason Williamson from Sleaford Mods recommend about 6 months ago, called Electrician. And I couldn't find it anywhere to watch, but it's actually popped up on Prime at the moment. So for people who've got Amazon Prime, they can watch it. And it was really touching, because it's about an electrician in London, and how lonely he is. And you follow him around, basically. Now, what I loved about it, this won a pile of awards, but it was filmed over 5 years, and they mainly used non-actors.
Okay.
So they mainly use real people. You as well, man, I'm looking at you with this one, because you really enjoy it with the work you do and stuff. And I'll just say, I didn't expect it to end the way it ended either. Okay. And it's a bit of an arty film. So obviously there's pretty much not much budget. You know, this one guy called Steve Conway, he made it himself and he edited it and everything. But I think it's a fantastic look into the danger of isolation and loneliness. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that sort of, I don't know, you said something about Dear Evan, that sort of rung in my mind straight away. So a film recommendation and a theatre recommendation.
Yeah, I know, we're doing everything. So we've done film, we've done theatre. Now let's move on to music. Perfect
segue. Music.
Segway. Perfect segue, that is.
Segwaying. I love that. I think we'll just adopt that now. It's because it's post-truth. We've said this, we say what we want. We're segwaying. Yeah. I suppose I'll go to touch on the going to see Billy No Mates firstly, which was really interesting because Sarah couldn't come because of childcare issues. Everyone that I knew seemed to be away or otherwise engaged, so I went on my own.
So you were Billy No Mates.
Billy No Mates at the Billy No Mates gig. So Billy No Mates for me is someone in the last 18 months or so I discovered. Again, I'm going back to Sleaford Mods, Jason Williamson. He put her on one of his tracks, which was really good. And then I realized that she had her own album out called Billy, it was self-titled called Billy No Mates. Her name's Tor Marie's. She's from Leicester originally. And she, just learned a bit about her background. She joined a number of bands that didn't really go anywhere and fell out of love with music. But she was in... she went to a Sleaford Mods gig and it reignited her passion to want to start making music again, and probably thought the best way for me to do this is go do it on my own, like, you know, because, you know, maybe rather than joining bands, she obviously had great things to say. And I absolutely loved her gig. Just her. And she got up with a laptop. Again, you know, she makes the music and records it in the studio and stuff, but obviously she is a one girl band, or however you want, a one person band. So it was all about, for her, the movement. She interacted through dancing. Okay. She sings very like, she's got a very dry delivery and very deadpan delivery, which I didn't really appreciate. I saw her live though. Her voice is really good. Like, I like it when I'm just on my headphones, but I didn't note it for her singing so much. I noted it for her lyricism and her music and the way she made music. But actually, watching her perform and combining the singing with the movement, which I know you're a massive thing on, she put the energy into the crowd, if that makes sense. And I went to watch her at Club Eva Bach, and I've seen a load of upcoming bands there. It's a great venue for anyone who doesn't know, in Cardiff. And a lot of people who are coming through tend to play in there. And I think it's just the way that she plays. It sounds like it's from a different generation, the music. Do you know what I mean? And I know she's made some songs after speaking to her dad, and it's like, but we actually danced on a Friday night and we went to old-fashioned bars and started old-fashioned fights. And when you're listening to it, you're like, it definitely harks to a different time. Right up to then, proper modernism, where her breakthrough song was a song called No. And again, man, I'm coming back to things that we've spoken about in the past, about that FOMO stuff, you know, and learning to say no. Well, you love this song, man, because it's like, this is how it starts. No is the greatest resistance. No to your nothing existence. No, I don't think it looks better. Yes, we're stronger together. No, I won't die on your floor. And no, I'm not righteous anymore. And no, I don't fit in your pocket, right? So it's that, but that first line, no is the greatest resistance. In so many, that's such an open line. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's easier to say yes, I think, than it is to say no, mate, isn't it? So great excuse. Yeah, go on, mate.
Could almost be a theme for the Jim Carrey film, Yes Man.
Why doesn't someone make a spin-off? You know, why didn't someone? And now, like, it'd be really interesting. Maybe we're going to go into filmmaking here. But it'd be really interesting to watch someone, honest to God, like watching someone like us. I'm sure there's loads of people out there like us who, to the detriment of themselves, you know, we'll just go along with anything that anyone else says, and how you can build up that resilience and resistance to take time back and control for yourself. So she was fantastic. And what I think, just to close off that bit, was, well, firstly, her support act was a lady called Annie Gardner. And I'm going to give her a quick shout out, because she had a guy on there who played the proper big stand-up bass. Do you know what I mean? Which I always love seeing something a bit different. And she was on guitar, and she was just lovely the way she joked and talked to the crowd. And she went to a massive laughing fit towards the end of her set because something set her off in the crowd. But you could see she was just really touring her own songs and starting off. So probably a bit of a nervous laugh, I don't know. For Billy No Mates, towards the end of her set, as she said, I'm sorry if my energy's down tonight, which everyone was looking at her to say, what are you on about? But she'd received some bad news that day. And she didn't say where it was. But I was sat there going, I didn't pick up anything in your energy. But what it started to make me think was how appreciative I was to her. And it reminds me that these people that we look at, right, they're human beings. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're on the road doing a job. And she'd received some bad news. But she was absolutely fantastic. For 10 quid a ticket. If she's around, get on board with her, because you will have fun.
Was it going by yourself as well? You know, that's quite, it's a thing to do. You know, I know we both don't mind our own company, but yeah, how do you find it?
Yeah, I don't mind, mate, because I generally go for the music anyway. Do you know what I mean? So I don't want to go and chat through gigs per se. You know, I want to stand and enjoy it. So, but obviously, if you are with someone, you will talk. When we went to Manx, we have a little chat now and again when we're trying to talk in each other's ear. So when you're not, you just purely focus on what's going on in front of you. And I watch then end up watching more other people and how they're reacting to the music and how they're dancing and what they're doing. What I noticed in the crowd was there was a lot of people, because the way Billy Nomix dresses is very like, this is me, you know, like whether it's dungarees, you know, hair's a bit crazy, whatever. Loads of people coming in like that. And that's what artists do. They give you this, like, this is a safe space for you to come and be yourself. So I picked up on a lot of other things. So I didn't mind it, man. I know you're the same, aren't you? But back to the theatre, because in your theatre going weekend, you had a heavy night on the Friday. So tell us about the Saturday night, what you went and did.
Yeah, so the Saturday, this is one which I bought Charlotte for her birthday just before lockdown. So she's waited 2 years for this. And it's kind of a little known musical we thought we'd go and see. So yeah, it was at Drury Lane. So it's a theatre I haven't been to before. And when I went, it's absolutely stunning. Like, that's another thing which I like, going to the theatre and just seeing the different theatres, you know, the entranceways, stuff like that. Yeah, but so this one, it's, yeah, it's obviously a musical. So the lyrics were written by Kristen Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez, and the book by Jennifer Lee. Basis of, you know, another thing done by these people called Disney Theatrical Productions and Chris Buck. But yeah, it's something called, I don't know whether you've heard of it, it's called Frozen.
No, I don't think I've come across that.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's going to last, to be honest with you. I know they're talking of doing a sequel. I'm like, oh, I'm not sure. But not, yeah. So I saw Frozen the musical, you know, and it was, the first thing was just the diversity of the people going to see it was awesome. You know, there were very obvious Disney fanatics. But then there were like little kids all dressed up and stuff as well. So it was like their first, almost their first theater experience. I know, I think my nieces are going in the future, but yeah, it was very different to Dear Evan Hansen. It was a big cast. And the interesting thing was we were fortunate enough, I say fortunate enough, so it's Noi Samantha Barks plays Elsa. So we had the understudy. Danielle Fiamania. And something Charlotte shared with me actually was that, I mean, in some ways, it's better to see the understudy because they're a better performer, because the understudy normally knows two or three principal roles, whereas the main person only knows that role. So she'll only know Elsa, whereas the understudy will probably know a couple, you know, might know Elsa, Anna, you know, and another person. So yeah, that was, it was not, you know, it was, she had a very, very powerful voice. There was one slight hitch where during, I don't know if you've heard the song Let It Go, but Elsa changes, you know, so her outfit changes. That's meant to happen. There was a technical issue, so it didn't happen. She didn't stop though. She just kept carrying on seeing it. Wow. She pulled something so her hair came down. And yes, you know, it was a shame for me not being able to witness it. Because Charlotte saw it in New York and she said she can't work out how they did it. And I'm someone who loves working out how things happen and how they, you know, how different things happen on stage. I want to give a shout out to Sven as well, because it was just someone basically in a reindeer outfit the whole time. It was really like Olaf just sounded like Josh Gad. You know, it was really, they did references to Frozen 2 throughout as well. You know, so they would drop little references as you went through. And yeah, you know, I found the second act was a lot better than the first act. They just seemed to warm up more. You know, I preferred it. But they, a few alterations as you went through. So you didn't have, like, the stone people were almost like, they seemed more taken on, sort of like Maori or Aborigine, you know, that sort of feel. You know, so it was a lot darker, that bit, you know, which is good fun. And yeah, I mean, people know the story of Frozen, I'm sure.
I just
recommend it, especially, you know, if you've got kids and you wanted to get them into the theatre, something like Frozen, Lion King, like the spectacle you get on top of it all is, it was incredible.
It's a proper, like, fantasy world as well for kids. That's what Disney tends to do. But this is also why a lot of adults still love Disney and what, like, you know, me and Sarah, sometimes if it's a rainy day, it's a Sunday, or Nora's not feeling too well or whatever, we'll say, let's stick a Disney on. Everyone does, don't they? You know, from time to time, you know, and I think it's because we're all children at heart, Some people allow themselves to explore that and some people don't. And we've spoken about on the pod. I mean, we've done all sorts of nonsense on this pod. You made me climb a tree. I've made you go out and draw pictures. We've done colouring. We've done all sorts. And actually, just quickly on that, another thing that I remember you set me ages ago, early on, was the Cosmic Kids Yoga. Well, now, Nora's a little bit older. She asks to have that on, right? So we do that in the house. So that's something you've brought to me. But she, what she mainly does is like, we'll say, I do yoga. And there's some posts she do. And every time a new post comes out, she goes, I can't do it. She won't try. But I'm like, try it. And she, but she's following me. So I'll get on the floor. Yeah. I'll do it. You know, and it's great bit of bonding time for me and her. Or if Sarah does it as well, we're all doing it on the floor together. I just think, you know, being a child at heart, like, you know, you and Charlotte went, I think, did you go, was it Charlotte's parents you went with or?
My parents who went with that, yeah.
Sorry, your parents. Yeah. And I think it's even for that, it's just great to be a kid from time to time. But also, I think you said about the performance and the second act being better than the first act. We've got to remember that these people have been holed up, haven't they, through pandemic like we have. Mm. And can you remember Ree, who used to work up the Nook, you know, but she was... She's performed in theatre. Mm. She's done some singing and stuff like that in the past. I remember speaking to her when the coffee shop was open. And she's like, I've got a small bedroom at my parents' place, you know, but I want to keep practicing. And I need a big mirror so I can watch my dance moves and make sure it's all okay. These people might be in apartments, not much space. And they have to come out and like, right, we've got to perform again. You know what I mean? And it's a challenge, mate, isn't it?
Yeah. And that was their second show of the day as well.
Wow. Tiredness. Yeah.
So it was going into the second show and they had done. And, you know, everyone had done back to back with it. But yeah, you know, it's again, like you said, it's just the whole experience of going to the theatre. You know, we went some nice food before, you know, a couple of drinks before, an interval drink, and then just a nice walk back through London. All the Christmas lights were starting to come on.
Love it.
You know, so just trying to walk back to the flat we had. And yeah, just really took our time walking back. And
good.
Then, got some nice food, bottle of wine, and just watched Strictly Come Dancing on my phone. So, you know. How else do you end a day?
Well, I wouldn't do it any other way. And also enjoyed a couple of Camden Pale Ales, going back to when Tom sent us a nice gift, didn't he, before?
Yeah.
But in London, having a pint of Camden in a Jack glass is always a good thing as well, mate, isn't it? Hopping back to music. But you could tell probably the slight that where we favour, you know, in terms of going to live. But no, it's just the way it's panned out. So I went to watch the Australian Pink Floyd on Saturday night with my uncle. Mm-hmm. And the reason that we bought those tickets was, harking back to the cabin session, I've mentioned it a few times, my uncle who passed last year, his brother, his favourite band was Pink Floyd. And the reason that the people in the family who do like Pink Floyd is because of him. So this felt like a real special moment, I gotta say. My uncle would admit he doesn't deal well with social interactions, big crowds and things like that, so I think it meant a lot for me to go with him and just make sure he's okay, even just nervousness about driving into Cardiff, where to park and that kind of stuff. But we went out some food before, and then we went into the concert, some great seats. It was a seated concert, but you know, like when you think I'm going to see a tribute act, you'd think you go into a small venue, wouldn't you? You know, to watch them. This one was in the Motorpoint Arena with thousands of people.
Yeah.
And this band were formed in 1988. They are probably the biggest Pink Floyd fans in the world. And they've dedicated their careers to recreating the everything about what you'd expect from a Pink Floyd show. They even had the big blow up pig. You know, the pig that on the front cover of the Pink Floyd albums, they over bats, that would come out from time to time. The blow up teacher from Another Brick in the Wall, that was on, they blew that up on the side of the stage. But musically, I cannot stress this to people, right? Like the sound was perfect. Like, you know, when you're literally sat, like as someone who's learning the guitar and watching these two guitarists up there who were just phenomenal. Like, I mean, I had tears in my eyes a few times. I mean, probably because it was an emotional one for us anyway, especially around Wish You Were Here. But I just think that you know, if you're gonna do it, that's how you do it. And we loved every moment. And just watching, like you said, again, the variety of ages, even in our row alone, there was like a lady next to me, probably in her 50s with her husband, down a little bit. Their daughter was there. She was like, must have been in her 20s, early 20s, something like that. I'm 30. My uncle's in his 40s. You know, there was people in their 70s there. And that's what bands like this, see, you know, like Pink Floyd, the music always gets passed down, doesn't it? And Pink Floyd's music won't die anyway. But bands like this help it to make it accessible because they've all broke up Pink Floyd. I mean, so they go off and do their own thing separately. But these people are like, well, come and see us. You know, we care about Pink Floyd as much as you do. So you know you're going to get a good show out of it. So absolutely superb. And I should touch on something that happened during the gig, actually, because this is just, I'm happy to share it. But someone tapped me on my shoulder behind me when I was talking. I was just saying something to my uncle about my Uncle Vinny when Wish You Were Here was on in the middle, just saying he would. And it was something along the lines of, you would have loved this. And, you know, it's great to be here with you. And my uncle went to say something back, and this guy leant forward and said, if you want to tour, can you leave and stand at the back? Now, I'd had a couple of drinks, and my uncle doesn't react well with confrontation, whatever. But I just thought there's two ways I can deal with this. You know, I can either ruin my own, his, and everyone else's night by making a scene. So his dad was with him, and I called his dad forward, because the guy was about the same age as me. I said, can you just have a word with him, please? I said, we are here because... I lost my uncle, he lost his brother last year, and this was his favorite band. And we were just sharing a moment about, you know, how much he would have loved it and how much the song meant. I don't really appreciate, you know, but you don't know that. I said, so I'm just telling you now, because we don't want to cause a scene. And that ended it. And the dad, it was just before the interval. And the dad came up and tapped us and apologized. The boy didn't. I think he was licking his wounds a bit. He looked a bit sheepish. And they didn't come back for the second half. There were some empty seats in there. So I don't know whether they decided to move somewhere else, but it's just those moments that happen. And I think old me would have probably flipped straight off the handle and just caught, I would have gone back abrasive.
Yeah.
And that would have sent it up. I also knew if I let my uncle deal with it, he wouldn't have coped with it the best way. So it's just those little social situations. I don't know what was going on in his head either. But I think I was quite proud of that I've probably developed a bit more 360 awareness of, and I haven't shared that with you, have I? But I was that was just something that happened in the middle of the gig.
Yeah, and it is. It's like you don't know what's going on for other people, you know. So it's kind of, you kind of do initially give benefits of the doubt to begin with. You know, who knows where it goes after that? But it is like, well, before you react, pause, think, okay, well, what could be going on before then reacting? You know, it just gives you that. As you know, that time to breathe. You know, if you turn around straight away instead of tapping, you know, that calling dad over gave you that little bit to regulate and think, okay, look, this is how it is. This is what's going on, you know, and stuff. So, yeah, you know, fair play. But I'm also wondering, I thought it just came to me, like, I wonder if they've ever performed for any members of Pink Floyd.
That's a real good shout, because I was just looking. I only just started looking beforehand, because as we both said, I've been traveling this week and been very busy. But maybe we'll come back to that one. Maybe we'll have a look, because I think they, from what I understand, is they're fully supported by Pink Floyd, so they've got their blessing to go and do it, because obviously they're performing their songs in full, you know. But we'll have a look. We'll find out, because that would be really interesting. Yeah. See if they've said anything.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of comes from, you know, I don't know, we'll probably do an episode mentioning books and stuff, but just reading Dave Grohl's book, he talks about about performing a Paul McCartney song in front
that's
of
right.
Paul McCartney.
Yeah, that's so, right.
Yeah, it was just interesting.
I'll probably say on that, actually, as well, that the book you read, we might come back and do that. But you've also going to post the questions for those of you on Spotify, please, because we're going to employ this more, but we're probably going to need to keep reminding people to do it while you're listening to us now. If you go into the bio of this episode, we're asking a question about what live events are you looking forward to going to see, and as you can see on here, it doesn't matter. It could be a film. It could be music. It could be theater, as Bryn's mentioned. Anything, you know, something with the kids, Peppa Pig will, whatever.
Sport.
Right. What's that?
Sport.
Sport, sport.
I'm going to the ice hockey Saturday, so it's my first proper live sporting event as well.
Wow, and we want to get down and watch some rugby down the Dragons, don't we? And county with the football. So yeah, please start employing that, because we it's a direct way you can leave some feedback. Obviously, as well as always, the captain will stick some stuff on our socials.
So, something different again. You know, we, as we said, we're doing our normal format But yeah, just interesting, and be interesting to hear your experiences of going back to live music, live events, you know, and how you found it as well. But we're bringing back the 30-second challenge, and we all know I'm probably the best at doing this. So I thought I'd let you have a go first, you know, just see what I'm working with, see how you're getting on. And this time I kind of set as a challenge of finding a heartwarming or funny news story. Neither of us know what each of us have picked.
No.
Yeah, so 30 seconds, I'm holding up fingers, and you're going 3, 2, 1, off you go.
Mine is that the volleyball used as a prop in the 2000 film film Castaway has sold at an auction for 230 grand. So Wilson has pulled in $250,000. And at the same time, Will Ferrell's outfit from Elf has brought in 175 grand. So I'm going to cut you there. Oh. Because when I read that this morning, like there was other things being sold, but that was the standout one. And they put it's one of those things, it's an inanimate object that most of us would recognize if we see it from that generation, right? Yeah. But I just thought, $250,000. But it's the descriptions of it. The ball is described by the auction house as heavily distressed with paint applied to create a worn, dirtied appearance. Right? It also bears a dark brown and red face in colors on the front. And the top is torn open and an array of tobacco stalks are inserted to replicate the appearance of hair.
they could just put the ball from Castaway, you know, it would have been easier.
I know.
Yeah,
but it's also the person who bought that is probably, I know you've got to have money to do these things, but it's probably just sat on their desk. I bet they're buzzing, aren't they?
Yeah.
To have that.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, that's my silly one for nice. You anyway.
Well, when you said you stopped, you were at 26 seconds, but then you did kind of carry on for 5 minutes. So.
Oh, mate, quick one as well from our friend Amy Winehouse, you know, that we've had in the past. A lot of great things have happened in terms of the Amy Winehouse Foundation and stuff like that. But the dress worn by Amy Winehouse during her final stage performance also went for 180 grand recently as well.
Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah. And I did watch Amy Winehouse Life in Pictures on BBC iPlayer. Again, I'll point people towards it. It's definitely a good watch. It's more just reference at the moment. But it's your turn. So I've got my fingers up, friend. 3, 2, 1, off you go.
Okay, so this is about the New York City Marathon. It's someone managing to run the whole thing without getting crushed under any shoes, anything like that. And interestingly, they also had their own shoes made. And like reading it, I was like, this is incredible. You know, it's someone called Wrinkle, and Wrinkle is a duck. So a duck ran the New York City Marathon. I'll put the link in. Have a watch. It's on Instagram somewhere. It is hilarious.
Bang on. You're getting good at this.
I know.
And, you know, a practice as well. Well done.
I've been practicing for the past 20 weeks every day.
I saw this one. It was the pictures and videos are hilarious, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just funny, you know, it's funny to watch. It's that sort of just, almost like heartwarming. Like some of the comments people have put, it's like, yeah, she is fast, she is speed, she is zoom, she is wrinkle, still fast as Duck Boy. <It's> just...
And that's what I love about the internet. These things get shared so fast, don't they? Yeah. And memes are made and all sorts. So, no, love that one. It, you know, made me smile as well. Hope it's made others. Right, so, yeah, bit of fun there. And obviously it's fun bringing back for us as well, to bring back a traditional format of a pod, because we have been treating people some different bits and pieces. And one thing has been missing for a few weeks now, which I'm sure has meant Bryn has been spending weeks editing this and putting it together, you know, uses Tippex, pens, pencils, whatever, is our story.
It is.
So, we're on to what, chapter 16, I understand.
Yeah, and it was actually, I didn't leave it till the last minute this time. I left it to 3 hours ago, so not too far.
Well, over to you.
Chapter 16. 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes and then I'll ring. I watch the clock. Another 5 minutes. What is my role? I'll shuffle the cards again. his falls out. 5 more minutes and I'll ring. The green button's luring me in to ring, to talk, to let him know everything. I can't hide it away all the way anymore. What they did to me, what he did to me. I'm stuck. I press. It rings twice. Hang up. Wait 5 minutes. I press. 3 rings. Hang up. I walk away. Punch the wall in frustration. Why can't I do these simple tasks? These things I used to be able to do until that day. They're watching me. I can see the glow of their eyes through the dawn, seeing the dew on the grass. Buzz, buzz, buzz. My phone. It's vibrating. I look. It's him. He's ringing me back. I didn't mean to ring, did I? Do I talk? Does he already know? I answer. Hello? It's me. Did you want to meet? I press a red button. I can't do this. It's a step, but it's a big step. Buzz, buzz, buzz. I answer. Boom, 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 boom. Auf unsere Nachtenlisa.
Oh, are we being introduced German?
It is, yeah. Yeah, bringing in languages now.
What does that translate to, Bryn?
On our next voyage. In case people didn't know.
I don't believe you. I'm going to look that up.
I always find some German words always sound really harsh. Like, we have science, they have Naturwissenschaften. It's just really like, yeah.
What's that one? Sorry, quickly, because it is funny. Butterfly in German is Schmelterling.
Yeah. Look at that Schmelterling. Like, I'll take it to Naturwissenschaften.
If you've just tuned in, hello.
Hallo, wie geht's? Das Captain und Cook Pod.
We're just doing what the Beatles did when they went to Hamburg and started recording songs in German. We thought it's good enough for them.
Yeah, it's good enough for us. So, yeah, this is where we set each other challenges. You guys have a go at challenges. Please send them in as well. Chewy, I think we got about 20 of yours to do at some point, so we will get round to them. But, yeah, over to you. What have you got for me?
Yeah, I was just having a think, actually. And obviously, we always want to get people involved. So I think this next one is something that's really helped me. I think I might have mentioned on an old pod, but it's called the ACE stool. Mm-hmm. And so it's basically getting you to think of a three-legged stool. And one leg is all about achievement. One leg is about social connection. And one leg is about enjoyment. And I just want you over the next week to stop and reflect each day or when you think the time's right. And just think to yourself, what have I achieved this week? How have I connected? And what have I done to give myself a little bit of enjoyment this week as well? And it's a great tool for anybody else out there, because you find normally if you don't have a healthy balance of all three, then the stool topple over, because it's three-legged stool. So I find I'm a visual person. So sometimes when people say things like that to me, I can quickly pull myself back to it. So give it a go. Let me know how it goes.
Cool. And for you, I know you're traveling a lot. You know, you get quite a few trains now, and just sort of linking back a bit to the Dear Evan Hansen with the waving through the window and that sort of stuff. So essentially, all I'd like you to do, again, a little bit of nature, take a few photos out the window of your train as you're going along and just see what comes out and see what's there.
Cool, man. I can definitely
photos
do that.
Of nature or whatever you pass.
I tell you what, I went to, I couldn't go via Salisbury when I went down to Bournemouth this week because there was a incident at the Salisbury Tunnel, which means trains are not passing through at the moment. But I was on the 6 o'clock train. I had to go to Reading first. So you go through like Wiltshire, past Swindon, places like that. There was a low mist down. The sun was coming up. It's absolutely, you get some great things on a train when you travel, great sort of scenery to look at. So yeah, I'll try and take some good ones. Well, this has been pleasant, Captain, because like I said, this is almost like our first run of shows, finding some time, jumping on Zoom. But also I think following that, following our usual format has been good to get back to it, but it's also good to change it up as well. So I hope people are enjoying what we're doing. But you chucked out a question and you've been on holiday, as we've already mentioned, and you asked people a question, didn't you, about their favorite holiday destination. So what did you get back?
Yeah, it's just, you know, I just thought, since I was away, just see where people want to go, where they want to go next. And yeah, we had quite a few nice ones. We had Kerry gave a shout out for Hawaii, Bonnie hoping it's Wales. We had Guy looking at going to Thailand, Sam looking at getting back to the mountains, so going to the Alps. Harry mentioned about going to Barcelona. We had Joe said about going to Tembe, you know, and a few others. And yeah, it's just nice sort of seeing the hope everyone has of like, okay, we can start returning to these places. We can start going back out. And yeah, I'll put a few other sort of questions on Instagram, same as we're putting on Spotify, and just nice to hear from everyone, you know, and just hear some feedback. And if there's any people you want us to cover, you know, feel free, get in touch where you can. But also I know, obviously, you know, the last main episode we did was the cabin episode, you know, so it was quite a big one, an important one for you, and we both listened to and reflected on how powerful it was, you know, to listen back. And I had a few others have got in touch about it.
Yeah, thanks to everyone who dropped me a message this week or reached out. A few stood out for me. Our friend Gordon, proud Scotsman but lived in America for last however many years, and he just messaged me and said, you and I deal with grief initially in the same way. Not crying and holding it together for everyone, being the strong one, dealing on our own. And he just went on to say, honestly, sometimes feel cold hearted and asking myself, why am I not crying? And he said, since having kids, I am a little bit more emotional, but my kids have not seen me crying. That's exactly the same for me. And we just chatted about it for a bit. And that's what, you know, these things instigate conversation. So we were having a conversation about it. So, you know, Gordon, trust me, you're definitely not alone. There'll be loads of people out there. And I had a message off Dan Blenkow as well. And thanks for reaching out, mate. And actually saying similarly, when struggling with losing a family member of him as well, and how do you categorize, how do you deal with it? But, you know, you mentioned in the pod, mate, but vulnerable masculinity, suppressed masculinity, and all that stuff is very important to you, isn't it? And it's actually really common, isn't it? It's a really common thing that you see. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a massive theme which I'm working with at the moment, you know, in my main role, you know, with lots of people about like clients not wanting to leave the room looking like they've cried, you know, and stuff. And it's like, well, what, you know, what are you hiding? You know, what's wrong with that? Yeah.
So yeah, you know, again, these cabin sessions, they do take a lot out of us, but like I said, we want to pull you back to the reason why we share them is if for people like we've had already can relate, that's what we want to do. We want to instigate conversation. It's okay to reach out. It's okay to talk. It's okay to cry. It's okay to do all this stuff. So that's what it's there for. A couple of just other bits, really. I never talk about Fontaine's DC, Bryn, do I ever?
I didn't. Who are they?
There's a running joke between Bryn and I that I basically bang on about it all the time. They are one of my favourite bands. Saw them recently, mentioned it in a previous pod.
It's not really a running joke, though, is it? Because it's a joke about a band. So it's a band joke. A running joke would be if we're joking about a marathon or something. So, you know.
You're thinking about band on the run.
Thanks for listening, guys. This is going to be our last pod. It's been a blast.
But basically, no. We're in control of this. No one can stop us. Right. They are asking for extras to appear in a music video. So if you are in Lewisham, so that's our London folk, next Wednesday, you can appear in their next music video. So if you head to all their socials, their pages, their et cetera's, you can fill in a very simple form. You'll be fed for the day and watered for the day, and then you might be on MTV. I can't. I'm away in Birmingham with work. Well, I might just cancel that and go there now. But yeah, really interesting opportunity for our London folk.
Nice. So is that's Wednesday 17th, is it?
That's Wednesday the 7th. Oh, it's actually this Wednesday. Sorry, Ned. We'll go out on the 15th. It's this Wednesday, the 17th. So that's an opportunity for you to get involved in, get yourself on MTV. I want to give a shout out to Nick as well. Nick is someone I've got to know in the last few years through Twitter, funnily enough, before I stopped using it. Great guy. I was talking about getting into photography. He had a DSLR camera, and he just loaned it to me. I had it for ages. And I went over and dropped it back to him, had a beer with him the other night. I know he's gone through a bit of a tough time recently, not for me to share here, but just sending out some strength to Nick because he's a fan of the pod too. Anything else for you, mate? I think we've covered a lot of ground, haven't we?
Yeah, I think that's all then. It's just sort of reminding everyone we are, We are still on Twitter at Captain and Cook One, Instagram at Captain and Cook Pod, and website. We haven't got a website. I was doing so well. Maybe we need to look at a website if anyone fancies getting on board with that. But email captainandcookpod@gmail.com.
And don't forget as well, Spotify users, have a look in the bio of the episodes from time to time, because we will ask questions and that's a direct way of feedback too. But until the next time, it's Tra from me.
It's Tra from him.